Algar Productions.
Hi, friends. Happy holidays. Just wanted to quickly, before we get started, mention to you that the Post-Atomic Horror is not back. We have taken a bit of a break. Mm-hmm. We are, if you are somehow unaware of this, if you don't follow us on social media or whatever, we are currently reviewing Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently, we will be reviewing the other Bruce Timm animated shows, Superman, Batman.
Yeah, we're basically working our way through all the DC shows.
Yeah,
DC shows.
Yes. It is Kids Love Batman, and we're on iTunes and everywhere else, so check us out. Perhaps one day we will go back to Star Trek. No promises.
Maybe.
With that said, though, now we have a crossover with between two shows, neither of which actually exist anymore. So we welcome our good, great old friends, English Gav and Irish Gav.
Welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
Oh, right, beer.
Ooh.
Forgot about that.
What beer are you drinking?
It's whatever I can get my filthy hands on these days.
So I suppose that's thematically appropriate somehow.
Drinking a delicious He-Man beer.
Well, he put in as much effort as Filmation did.
Take that, Filmation. Take everything we give you. You're terrible.
To refresh. No, that doesn't work, does it now?
Wait, you're reading the advertising on it, not the name.
It's just some Foster's.
Ah. So, one of those giant novelty Australian beers?
Mm-hmm. You should have drank Tennant's, because one of the robots I thought looked like they had a Tennant's logo on them.
I thought you were going to say it looked like David Tennant. There was definitely a Doctor Who vibe to some of this. There was a point where some people were captured, and then they escaped their jail, and then they were taken back to their jail. And I was like, oh, aw, Doctor Who.
That's the thing. I'm watching. I'm like, how many times can two children be kidnapped in the same day?
Well, turns out like seven.
Seven times.
If you've ever needed the answer to that question, here it is. All right. So we have broken this down. We're each going to review a quarter of it. And I have the first part, so let me begin. Our tale opens on the far-off planet of Eternia, with about a second and a half of Happy Birthday playing on the soundtrack. I'd like to see those miserly old crones Mildred and Patty Hill try to sue you all the way across the galaxy? How far away is Eternia supposed to be exactly? Well, stay tuned, because the story's about to deliver that important answer to us. But first, the Royal Court of Eternia is celebrating the birth of the Hyphenate twins, He-Man and She-Ra. Except, wasn't She-Ra's whole deal that she was kidnapped and whisked away to Etheria when she was a baby? You know, Etheria, the alternative suggested by spellcheck if you misspell Eternia too badly. Anyway, this is a crossover event, and we all know that you can't have a crossover event if you pay even the slightest bit of attention to characters' backstories, so never mind all that. The important thing is that Orko now gets to stand side by side with She-Ra's rainbow-eared owl. Watch out, Batman! Speaking of Orko, and I really wish my segment wasn't so Orko-heavy, but we could probably all say that, really. Anyway, speaking of Orko, as I apparently must, he's doing what he always does, fucking around where he doesn't belong, inside a spaceship created by Man-at-Arms, for reasons. The spaceship is apparently capable of interstellar or possibly intergalactic or maybe even interdimensional travel? Because after an extremely tedious fight in which He-Man and She-Ra fend off Skeletor and his Season 2 dreg villains, Orko is catapulted across light years of space and crashes on Earth. Oh man, was I looking down at my notes when they said how far away Earth was? I guess I could rewind it and find out, but I'm much more interested in these two idiot children who are just standing in what appears to be the Arctic Circle waiting to be consumed by an avalanche. They probably figured a hovering wizard imp in a spaceship would crash land nearby and save them with a magic spell. Which is actually what happened, so maybe these children aren't the idiots they appear to be. Then they mention Christmas, as in, everyone loves Christmas, and everyone celebrates Christmas, and Christmas is the greatest thing on this shitty planet, which, God, might actually be true. But seriously, they mention Christmas so much that you'd think it was a new playset or action figure that your parents could buy you for... Oh, I get it. Okay, now it's Matt's turn.
So while the kids educate Orko on the good news about how the Christ child has risen, Prince Adam and Man-at-Arms realize that Orko's fucked off in the Fantastic Four's spaceship. They're willing to leave Orko to freeze to death on this alien world, but the spaceship is really expensive. Like, USS Flag expensive. So they send She-Ra on a fetch quest to find some kind of jewel or something. She-Ra hooks up with Mermiranda or something like that. A mermaid who knows the location of certain jewels when that's necessary. They both head to the Fort Fright Zone, which sounds dope and is home to the Monster Beast. Half monster, half beast, half-heartedly animated. She-Ra defeats the Monster Beast by knocking it over, which seems to do the trick somehow. And then she's attacked by giant transforming robots who her horse remarks are assholes, like all transforming robots. Nay. She-Ra fights them for a bit too much, and then one of them traps her in a bubble with a laser. Typical transforming robot asshole, mutters She-Ra. I also hate G.I. Joe. She-Ra escapes from the bubble by kicking it and remarks that she hopes that she won't have to fight the robots again later, possibly with some shitty Smurf Silverhawk ripoffs. She returns to wherever the castle is, and Man-at-Arms uses his man-arms to place the jewel in his big Kirby machine, which beams Orko and the expensive spaceship back to Eternia. It also brings the two kids because Orko is an idiot who makes poor decisions, like, I will bring children back to my war-torn homeworld, and I will continue to breathe in and out. Back on Eternia, everyone is excited to see Orko for some reason, and then they discuss how to send the children home. He-Man's mom, who is from Earth, is real sketchy about how to get home because if she goes back there, she will be arrested for tax evasion. She distracts the children with a Christmas party so that we can talk about Christmas again. You guys know about Christmas, right? It fucking rules.
Ugh. All right, picking up where you left off, what have we got? Some sort of party where there's some creepy shirtless guy who's trying to seduce the children with his crotch music. And then the kids start singing. You guys fucking orchestrated this handover, didn't you? Then a dildo ship turns up and kidnaps the children and Orko. I'm watching the correct show here, right? Back at the castle, Man-at-Arms has no idea where they are, despite already stating that Hordak was taking them to Eternia. He was taking them there, and then I lost track, so I don't know where he's taking them. Is this like Schrodinger's thoughts? He both knows where they are, but also doesn't. Thankfully, She-Ra knows somebody who can actually help. Peekaboo with her multivision. Oh, fuck off. Back with Hordak and his flying mechanical dildo, what would be the last thing you'd want to come across if you were hiding inside a huge mechanical dildo? Probably some huge robots, right? Good thing there's no Transformers on it. Oh, forgot about these dudes. Anyway, they give the occupants 10 seconds to leave because you don't want your dildo infected with little humanoids, do you? The kids are taken to prison and then looking through the bars. What the fuck is that thing that just turned up? It's a zipper and cutter with the perfect tools to help them escape rather conveniently. They're called manchines. Do they just hang around jail cells, freeing people that get locked up? Who keeps repairing these jail cells after they've freed them? Why doesn't someone do something about them? Anyway, they're stuck by the Transformers as they try to escape, but just in time, He-Man turns up to save the day and says,
"You're pretty good at giving orders, Metal Mouth. Now let's see how good you are at taking them. Move away from my friends."
She-Ra then joins in on the action, battling the Transformers. He-Man then comes out of the closet by proclaiming, "What works for my sister works for me." Then, with the help of, oh my god, there's more of them, the Telebug's mutated offspring, the Transformers are defeated. Wait, I'm confused. What show are we watching again? Skeletor sneaks up and takes the kids, and also one of the Telebots, but Hordak intervenes and there's a shootout between them. If at this stage you're watching without the aid of multivision or something, don't worry. You're in luck, as Hordak provides audio description of the entire scene for you. Skeletor crashes in the snow and has a genius plan to not be found. Not staying where they crashed. The kids are too cold to move, but Skeletor is being a Mr. Meanie as the kids beg, "Please, Mr. Skeletor, it's Christmas time, the season of love and caring."
And because Skeletor is apparently susceptible to the Christmas virus, he fits the children with his and her matching winter jackets. Oh yes, and there's a robot dog that comes along too. Listen, if it ain't K-9 from Doctor Who, I don't give a fuck. And then Skeletor protects them all from a Hoth Wampa. Just before the kids go to their TED talk about Christmas, Horde Prime arrives, along with Horde Kelvin, He-Man, She-Ra, and Hordak. Or Jordan, as my spell check insists. Horde troopers attack He-Man and She-Ra while Jordan knocks out Skeletor. Just as the kids are to be captured by Horde Prime, the not canine wakes Skeletor, who shoots down Horde Prime's ship. Skeletor is then told he's been possessed by the Christmas spirit, who will exact revenge once a year on this very night. Meanwhile, back at the palace, there's a Christmas twins' birthday party. Wait, are they Jesus? No time for such theological conundrums when Adam, who is now Santa as well as Jesus, gives the children flying belts contravening the Prime Directive. The kids return to Earth, where they are welcomed by their mom and weirdly off-model dad. Merry Christmas, Skeletor! Good grief.
Hordak, you blockhead! Oh, God.
Get the football, Skeletor!
I really enjoyed this. Like, we've watched a lot of bad stuff together, the four of us, but this was bad in that way that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like...
There's no end to it.
Really, that's, like... I mean, I felt that way about a lot of things, but not this. You did?
No, I mean, there's no end to the stuff you can talk about.
Oh, the bad stuff.
It's exactly boring.
No. Yeah, right.
Yeah, indeed. I find it's very, very rare that you get something that is bad that is actually good and fun to watch. People say it about a lot of stuff, but it rarely is. But this is one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's something when you encounter it, you're like, oh, that's a great thing I should do all the time. And without realizing how actually difficult it is to, you know, to find things like that. But
yeah.
Part of it is it doesn't take itself very seriously. Like, it's extremely campy. And it's campy in both sense of the words, I would say. And it's, like, a lot of things happen. It's not. Like, the animation is repetitive, but the story has so many things.
Well, that's the thing. We split this up into four pieces, and each piece, like, just takes the story off in a completely different direction.
Yeah, none of us was wanting for, like, material for a summary. And, English Gav, isn't this your good thing? Just how many things happen, basically?
Yeah, I certainly lived up to its name as being a special. It was... epic in scale, that just did so much, visited so many locations up into space, to swamps. They had big robots, little robots, sex toys. What else could you want for Christmas?
Yeah, so many things your parents could buy for you.
And assemble the night before.
And then forget the batteries so that the Snake Mountain microphone doesn't work.
Oh, yes, the microphone.
I mean, the only thing about that is they just went all the way everywhere, did everything. And there was just not enough time devoted, and they couldn't really execute anything. It was just off, we'll do this, right, finish with that, do this, finish with that.
Now,
next bit.
I haven't watched this show in 30 years or whatever, but I feel like that's pretty standard for, like, He-Man and She. Like, I don't think that's unique to this special. I think that's just how these shows were. Am I wrong? Do you guys remember?
I don't know. This is one of those 80s shows that I did not go back to. Like,
I don't know. I used to watch it, but I can't remember it, to be honest.
Well, that's odd.
I think
your memory is usually so reliable. Sorry, Gav, you were saying something?
Probably. I think, yeah, they seemed... Well, there's a lot of... the kids just went from one place to the other, really, didn't they? And people were capturing them, and I'm like, I don't know why these people are being captured. Like, yeah. I don't know why the monstroids were interested in capturing the kids. I don't know.
Sometimes you just want kids to be dead, you know?
I mean, I
those
didn't...
are some adorable Muppets. I'd better shoot them with a laser.
I didn't particularly want them alive. I don't know. they were probably I didn't pick them as my bad thing, but they were probably the worst characters in this.
Well, they spend all their time talking about how great Orko is, so clearly there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, nobody likes Orko. Come on.
You think when they go back to Earth, they tell everyone how great Orko is, and then it becomes his own religion?
Let us tell you all about the great heroes of Eternia, Orko and Skeletor.
Orko, that rainbow-eared owl, the rest.
And friends.
But Matt, this is your bad thing, yeah?
Just like in The Simpsons.
Matt, this is your bad thing with
Orko? Oh, yeah. Listen, there's a rich tradition of hating on the cute mascot characters in 80s cartoons. I fucking hated all of them. But Orko is horrible. Well, just goddamn annoying and fucking shit up and just dicking around with their expensive spaceship, and he's terrible, and he's just a flying shirt and a hat, and I hate him.
Well, let's talk about some of those characters. Who, like Snarf, obviously, but who else?
I hate Slimer, famously. Oh,
yeah.
Uni from Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, God, ooh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Scrappy Doo.
I thought you said Scruffy for a minute. Like, wait, the janitor?
Scruffy.
Oh, I hate him.
I've never seen you before.
There was that robot in Mask.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was a long tradition of that. And just
Big
just,
monkey robot in Bionic 6.
Which one was Bionic 6? I don't think I know.
Bionic 6, but they had the metal action figures with, like clear plastic, like, arms and legs, because they had bionic arms and legs.
Right.
Fucking love Bionic 6.
Did that guy
talk like this? Because most of them talk like this. Oh.
Probably.
Terrible.
I haven't seen Bionic 6 in longer than I haven't seen He-Man.
I feel like this trend has gone away, at least in the handful of children's cartoons I've seen recently, and I'm glad.
Because, they realize, oh, everybody hates these characters. They just want to hang out with the cool characters.
But also, it's possible to have comedy without having a designated comedy relief character.
Yeah. It's like there was a weird theory. It's like, well, the kids need someone to latch on to. It's like, dude, you're making a show for the kids.
Dude, you've got Skeletor.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to like Skeletor. He's the bad guy. Yeah, but he's perfect.
Yeah. This is basically my good thing.
Yes.
So over on our Batman show, I often highlight the superb voice acting featured on that fine show. This show did not enjoy that privilege so much. With the notable exception of Alan Oppenheimer as Skeletor, who might be the greatest cartoon villain of my entire childhood. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's even better than Cobra Commander. The guy's menacing when he needs to be. Like, he's actually... I want to say early on before they realized he was funny. Mm-hmm. But early, you know, he's pretty scary sometimes. But he also sells the whole, like, constantly berating your underlings thing. Like, when at the beginning in the big action sequence, when his ship's about to go down, he just throws them all out and gives them one parachute.
Oh, my God, that was hysterical.
Classic 80s villain. You get one parachute, fuck you all!
There's a great bit where one of the guys is like, Skeletor, He-Man fucked something up. And Skeletor goes, what?
Yeah. But most importantly, he absolutely kills those last 10 minutes of pure comedy when the big evil bad guy starts being nice and hates being nice. Like, I think we've all seen those clips on YouTube independent of this because they make the rounds every Christmas and they're amazing. It's such a corny bit, like, oh, the bad guy doesn't want to be good, but he's so good and it's an instant classic. Like, it's so funny to me.
The facial expressions on him are so good, too. He's so sad that he's nice.
And it's a skull. He shouldn't have facial expressions, but they make it work.
Oh, my God. I don't care for being nice.
Uh-huh.
There's a bit where he says, never use kind around me. And I guess he just hates Richard Kind from Mad About You. Because they went for the same part.
Uh-huh, obviously. I just really like Paul Reiser.
Can't believe he got me on Spin City, too. The chance to work with Michael J. Fox and Barry Bostwick. Curse you, Kind!
But, I mean, I'm not alone here, right? Like, Matt, I know, you know, you and I have riffed on Skeletor for years, but, like, I don't
know.
Wanna...
I like Skeletor? Is that a thing? Is that a thing that I like?
Huh? What? But, I mean, you guys feel the same way, right? I don't want to speak for everyone. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Skeletor, yeah. I mean, I just... Whenever they created She-Ra, they obviously made Hordak, and I just didn't like that Hordak was then... Skeletor was then, like, his...
Subordinate.
Underling at one point before he left or something. Something like that.
Was that in the cartoon? I thought that, like... I have no idea. I'm not, like...
I can't remember. I think it was in Secret of the Sword. When they retconned everything.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to be, like, Skeletor's boss or whatever.
That's what I thought, but then I thought there was some really interesting stuff sort of on the packaging for the toys, which had a whole different backstory than the show. I wasn't sure if it was like that or because
the toys also came with little comics that had a completely different thing.
The mini comics that came with He-Man, a friend of mine was like this is a much better thing. He-Man's just an idiot barbarian who wanders around beating people up. Like, there's nothing noble about him. But I do remember, like, Castle Grayskull wasn't, like, where the good guys lived. It was like a neutral place where they were both trying, like, they were both trying to get it. And that's why the swords fit together and made, like, a key to it or something. And I don't know. That was kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hordak. Also, his voice is real stupid.
It's not. I had not heard Hordak speak before. So when he shows up and starts sounding like Popeye combined with a pig, I completely lost it. We gotta do something about Hordak. He's a real asshole. Yeah, give it a hear.
Yeah, they clearly had maybe five voice actors in the entire cast trying to do triple, quadruple, quintuple work, and they're not none of them really have the versatility to pull it off, so most of the voices are just terrible.
Put some more filters on it, or make that guy sound like he's gargling, or the original version of Catra shows up in this, who's just a lady in a cat costume, and she's just like, Mike, I can see why this is popular.
I mean, I just saw Wonder Woman 84 and was disappointed by how little Cheetah was in it. So, honestly, I was happy to see Catra. Just like, yes, finally a Catwoman. I was promised a Catwoman. let's see. Irish Gav, what do you got for a good thing?
A good thing. I just bloody love the music in this. Because a lot of it is the same background music, but it just takes me back to being a kid and recording episodes like on audio cassettes.
Oh yeah, I
did back in the day.
Yeah.
So I could quite happily listen to like this as background music while I'm reading or something.
I was bopping along to bits every now and again.
Filmation. We pointed this out when we covered the Star Trek animated series. They don't have enough music. Like, there's probably maybe 5 minutes of it. It's very good music. I agree with you, but it does recycle a lot.
And it recycles in different. I'm sure I've listened to this music before in other shows as well.
Undoubtedly.
What's my music doing in that?
But also, there's like the downside is you get a little sick of it, but the upside is if it's really good and catchy, then it does the thing like a pop song does, where if you hear it a million times, you're never getting it out of your head.
Yeah,
exactly. However, to move seamlessly into my bad thing.
Excellent
segue.
That's awful Christmas song. Just dreadful. In the show wrote it in minutes, and believe me, you can tell, but somehow they know all the words and join in. Fuck off. Come back, B. Arthur, in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I mean, let's not go nuts here.
Dear friend, is that a tear, friend? Oh, God. Yeah, no, it was dreadful, and you're right. It felt like a really bad improv song, like you're watching someone's improv act and they haven't, I'll just make up the words as I go and everything's great, only you're not good at it.
Guys, we forgot to write the He-Man Christmas song. Oh, fuck. Give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What rhymes with Eternia?
Etheria.
Shit.
Lyrics including love and caring, peaceful bliss, joys of sharing, happiness. Friend.
They're basically reading out of the thesaurus at this point.
Let's see. Give me a list of generic like adjectives and concepts associated with Christmas, and just fit together the ones that rhyme. It doesn't matter.
What? Good and niceness. I like Christmas.
Nailed it. Simply having.
I wondered how long it would take for
The mode is right.
I mean, the thing is, a lot of the music, like you talked about, it has a lot of synthesizer in it. That song wouldn't have been completely out of place in this.
No.
It's got that unique mid-80s synth sound to it. Yeah. No, I could absolutely see that. What would you have for a bad thing?
My bad thing? Basically, the morals at fucking end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just fuck off with that already, will you?
I don't know if you remember,
That
was a constant in the regular show.
The spirit of Christmas and all that shit, which which we all had at the end of our synopsis anyway. They just hammered it all the way through that episode, and there's no need to go over it again at the end.
No, it's a whole bit where Orko's like, yeah, but presents, right? No, Orko, it's not really about presents. Ugh.
Now, not everybody celebrates Christmas.
They don't say that. They never say that.
No, they did. They said not everyone celebrates Christmas.
Okay, oh, that's right, at the end.
But even if you don't, you've got Christmas inside you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, because I...
See, Orko, we're all a little Christian in God's sight.
That's the vibe I was getting from those kids, and it really bothered me. Everyone celebrates Christmas. Christmas is Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Shut the fuck up.
Why they really like Christmas. Jesus.
Little white kids. Just shut up. You should have gotten killed by that avalanche.
Or any of the other numerous things that tried to murder you.
Mm-hmm. That would have been fine. My bad thing. So, this was clearly a showcase for some kind of Monstroids Man-Sheen spinoff, right? Like... I enjoy me some robots, but these guys were like sub-Gobots.
Oh, they sucked.
Yeah, and they may have had more actual screen time than He-Man or She-Ra individually. Like, I didn't count, but they were in the whole third act, and He-Man and She-Ra kind of went away for a while. I've got to go have a smoke.
And then that's Nick fine, Cotine this... turns up.
Oh, God.
That's fine, this dude who's half of a, like, scooter... Save the kids.
No, that was an actual GoBot.
Oh, my Lord.
And actually, he talked like this, come to think of it.
Like Meatwad?
Yes! I think it was Frank Welker doing that voice, but yeah. Ugh. But yeah, this it clearly was like a spinoff or like a new toy line or whatever, and I don't even know if they made the toys, but...
They didn't.
It felt like they were building up to that. Mm. It had that distinct feeling that a lot of 80s cartoons sort of at the end of their run had, where it's like, here's the new gimmick. You kids want this, right? No.
We don't.
Probably
when
not.
When you looked into new toy lines, did you look at new Transformers and new Mega Man Telebots?
Yeah. It's
were they advertising for the other shows?
Also, this would have been right around the time those were getting huge. So it was an obvious, it wasn't like inspired by, it was just like blatantly ripping off. Like, this show has a lot of Star Wars in it, but I think they do it in a way that doesn't feel exactly like it. Like, they took the same formula. They took, like, well, it's a bit fantasy and a bit sci-fi, but not the same mix of fantasy and sci-fi. Apart from this episode, I don't remember them spending a ton of time in space. So, that's kind of cool. But then with the Transformers thing, they're just like, nah, but also transforming robots. Whatever, we give up.
Yeah.
But they're evil.
Yeah. And they weren't engaging at all. Like, I guess the designs of the bad ones were okay, but that's about
it. Oh, yeah. Well, the good ones had like that Smurf look to them where they're just like, I don't care about these guys aren't cool or cute or like nothing about these guys is selling me.
Yeah, they're all rounded. Like, they're not like the bad guys are angular and the good guys are all circles. And like, that's a whole like psychological thing, I think, but. Ugh, just
you terrible. You can totally see the gimmick they were going for, though, right? Like,
yep.
It was like, what if we made guys who are like bits of a Swiss Army knife?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy will pop out like a little knife, and this guy has like some string in him that you can pull out. And this guy's, a tape measure.
And this guy can open a bottle of wine.
But don't drink wine, kids.
Your mom will love him.
So, okay, let's talk about just how incredibly gay this show is.
Is it?
Like, I seriously wanted to have a discussion about, because I've seen a bunch of stuff about how, like, you know, queer people sort of in our general age group in their 30s and 40s who grew up on this stuff, like, point back to this show as, like, one of their formative things, and I thought that'd be an interesting discussion, but it's not, there's nothing subtle about it. This is full of rainbows and dick shapes. It's just, it's the gayest thing.
But it's weird because this and Doctor Who as well, you know, that's the same kind of thing. I wouldn't say there's rainbows and dick shapes in Doctor Who.
There should be, though.
I mean, there is sometimes, to be fair. To be fair to Doctor Who.
Yeah, but it's not built into the aesthetic of the whole thing. It just shows up sometimes.
Yes. It's just inadvertently shows up sometimes.
Right. But I mean, look at Man at Arms.
What's that pulsing member in the middle of the console, though?
Could be anything. Do you have to see dicks in every dick shape? Come on.
Yes.
No, it's just like, even just like Man at Arms is the sort of like the ideal of what a gay man looked like in the 80s. Like that mustache is just, what else could that be?
Oh, yes.
Same with Bo.
What? Oh, yeah, Bo, right. The bare, muscly armed, harp playing mustache man with the rainbow cloud around him.
And a giant heart on his chest.
Oh,
armor.
Right. Yeah, nothing gay
about
any of that.
That's just the target.
But like a poor marksman. I do like that he
rainbow,
was. What's that?
Owl. The rainbow owl as well.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. Bo was his name. I like that.
Yeah.
He appears to be the evil Lin of She-Ra, like the token boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually nice. But I mean, it's fantastic that they took She-Ra like and modernized it and made it overtly queer. That's great.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like one of those things where it's like this needs to be more representative. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was intentional, but it had to have been, right?
I mean, I could definitely see this being a sort of like, how much can we get away with?
Yeah, exactly. Like a couple of the background designers, maybe, or some, you know, some of the animators. I don't know. Just
the thing I always used to think about with She-Ra, at least, was it always feels like that show was very Lisa Frank, and then they just went real hard into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. And she, for people who don't know, makes like the rainbow unicorn, like the sort of stereotypically girly girl, like sickeningly sweet art, right?
Yeah. Used to do like stickers in the 90s as like, is a rainbow dolphin jumping over a rainbow rainbow.
Mermaid.
And also it's shiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's just not a lot of like discussion there, but it feels so
I think just because it's so overt.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Well, it's just the discussion basically breaks down to, this is really gay, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this isn't like 12-year-old us saying, oh, this is so gay.
No.
Like, no. It's just, it's very gay. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably when I was a kid, I liked it so much because, well, I wasn't gay then when I was like 6 watching He-Man. But you know what I mean? It's sort of.
But it made you that way? Is that what you're saying?
He-Man made me gay, yes. Can I sue? No.
You may be entitled to compensation.
You may be entitled to compensation.
Nah. Sorry, you were saying?
Hello, I'm Skeletor, attorney at law.
Attorney at law? Very good.
I don't know, but it was like, I really liked it at the time, and Doctor Who is obviously a favorite show of mine now. Mm-hmm. But and it seems to be have a lot of big gay following as well.
I mean,
but I don't know any more than that.
Yeah,
when it's like the 70s and the 80s, and there isn't like the incredible amount of like material that there is now, you latch onto anything colorful and, you know, like sort of campy and fun. I would assume.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was probably the costumes.
Yeah. Like, basically, my test for it is, can you picture Freddie Mercury in this? It's probably gay. Doctor Who, absolutely.
That's the only thing that would make this show better.
I mean, yeah, if Bo was instead Freddie Mercury,
mm-hmm.
a little bit better.
Oh my God, I would give my left hand to watch Freddie Mercury hang out with Skeletor for half an hour.
Can you make me one of those cool theme songs like you did for Flash Gordon?
No. Ah.
Well, that would have been so better if the Master of the Universe movie had Queen music.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, anything would have made that fucking movie.
Yeah, it's not great.
No. My brother watched it a lot, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't think he actually liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. It was just pretending to be Star Wars.
Well, I mean, but again, so did He-Man. But He-Man, mm-hmm. like, sort of remixed it in a way where it didn't feel like an obvious ripoff, whereas the movie didn't bother.
Well, the movie wasn't enough He-Man. Like,
yeah.
It's like they had to make it its own thing, and it's like, you don't. All the good stuff's right here.
I mean, the fact that they called it Masters of the Universe instead of mm-hmm. He-Man, like, was probably a hint.
Wasn't that the name of the toy? The toy line was Masters of the
Universe.
Yeah,
it was. But it's but the show is He-Man? He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, yeah. I think. But, you know, everyone's there to see, I assume, to see the main hero guy. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe not.
And then the problem with it was, it's He-Man. Like, what was the first thing we'll do? We'll go to Earth. Why?
Yeah.
Well,
no one wants to go to Earth. Earth is boring.
The thing is, if you're doing a Christmas special,
it's cheaper to film one.
That's true.
That's a good point. You think those kids? You think they paid those kids? Of course not. But you know, if you're going to introduce the concept of Christmas, the only connection to Earth you have is He-Man's mom. So
yeah,
you could show shots of the queen sitting on her throne, telling you what Christmas is, or you could go to Earth. Like I get it. It's more dynamic to go there, I guess. But
it makes no sense, right? The finder beam, the when he Mandar is bringing Orko back, the light thing, he was told to go into the light, not that way, to get back to Eternia.
Oh, and then he just grabs the two kids?
Yeah.
But then the beam grabs the kids, the Christmas tree, and the fucking rocket all in one. So yeah. It doesn't matter if he goes into the light at all.
That's a good point. But I mean, you know, Star Trek had that problem too, where it's like, we're going to beam up Kirk, but uh-oh, that whale biologist lady just like jumped on him, and I guess we're beaming her too? I don't know.
I really wish that they beamed Orko back and it just merged with the two kids, the tree, and the ship. Tell me!
And then Captain Janeway ordered him shot. Uh-huh.
not because...
What's
that?
So when they came out with that finder beam, I was just thinking, what's it? It's a torch in it. It's talking about a torch in it. He's going to use a torch to find a fucking spaceship. And yeah, he did.
I was seriously, like, I mentioned this in my summary, but like, how far away is Earth? The whole point of He-Man's mom, I thought, was she was an astronaut who, like, went through a wormhole or something. Like, something happened where she couldn't get back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you can just
build
a ship that's made to get as far as orbit, but somehow it can get to Earth?
Well, I really like Orko's
spell worked.
Oh, yeah.
The two times Orko's spells ever worked is that, and whenever the avalanche doesn't kill the kids.
Yeah.
You know that surveillance satellite ship thingy they had? Mm-hmm. They should have come up with a really catchy name for that thing.
You mean Sky Spy, which already was used on Transformers, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Well, they could have called it Reagan's Star Wars.
See, intellectually distinct.
Going you can't... to use this to spy on Skeletor.
Oh, if only.
Oh, I assume he called him Wellator. Don't laugh at that.
I'm gonna. I love that He-Man's mom at this point is like, it's real easy for her to get back to Earth, just doesn't want to.
Yeah, and I might have that wrong, but that was my memory was like,
I do remember her ship. I'm sure she was an astronaut, and she ended up in like a
That part I remember, but I thought also she was trapped there and just sort of made the best of it.
It's like, well, we can get you back to Earth. Fuck no, I'm queen here.
Yeah.
Well, she did fall in love with King
Randor.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Randor. He came from the east. No, honestly, I give this show, and I mean, obviously She-Ra, but even just He-Man credit for not being as overtly sexist as a lot of, like, 80s, like, cartoons of its time. Like, the fact that his mom was an astronaut and not, like, you know, the maid on a spaceship or something, like the secretary.
Yeah, and I'm liking this, how He-Man was just basically shit in every scene and always needed She-Ra to turn up afterwards to... Finish the job.
It's probably because he didn't bring Battle Cat. That's the reason.
Well, and also He-Man's kind of an idiot.
He's the real star.
Mm-hmm. He-Man is kind of an idiot. I mean, he thinks talking like this makes everyone think Prince Adam's a different guy.
No one will ever figure out that I'm He-Man, a guy I look just like.
When I put this sword down, my tan goes away.
I don't know, you should at least put glasses on, for God's sake.
Obviously.
You'd think at least, right? It's...
I don't think they have glasses on Eternia.
Why would I need glasses? I can see just fine.
You're an idiot, too. It's not like the power of Grayskull makes you an idiot. You're just an idiot.
Must be that haircut.
Also, every time I saw a shot of Prince Adam, I just thought of that the meme, the you know, him singing the Four Non Blondes song.
Oh, man. I love that video.
Yeah, it's been making the rounds for like 20 years or something at this point. I think at one point that was like the most watched thing on YouTube.
There is... Hasbro released a He-Man action figure that was like Prince Adam, just and the box was just like made up to look like that video.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Was it Hasbro or Mattel?
I don't remember. Is Mattel even a thing anymore? I thought Hasbro just owned all action.
That's the thing. I wasn't trying to correct you there. I was asking, has everyone been bought out by one company?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know it used to be Mattel.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt, you haven't actually done your good thing yet.
Oh, yeah. The design on all of this is very good. Mm-hmm. Just like I remember this show being like cheap and everything, but like it looks good.
Well, cheaply animated, but yeah, the backgrounds and the character designs are all quite good.
And... Like the character of He-Man's kind of boring. He's just Conan and bracers, but like everyone else looks so cool.
Except
like there's a crowd shot of just like all of the various characters, like an elephant guy and like Mechaneck and
oh god,
Triclops, many faces.
Ugh. They didn't show a lot of the classic guys though. I didn't see Evil Lyn or Beast Man or like I said the first round of them that actually looked pretty cool.
Well, we're pretty like you said, we're pretty late into the series at this point. They're trying to show off all the new hotness, which is like Skeletor's new idiot friends and the Mansheens and
but
Hordak's friends.
Hordak's friends.
Horda Prime. There's a big cloud with a hand.
Yeah, so apparently the two of them have a boss too.
Yeah, and you just keep going up as the show keeps going.
So he's like he's like the district manager of the universe, I guess.
Yeah, if they'd done another season, you'd meet Horde Prime's boss, like
Jesus.
Horde Super Prime.
Mm-hmm.
They like the word horde on this show.
I guess so. What else?
The whole decorating bit was great, but Matt was talking about the broom. Madame Raz was there with her broom, like sweeping something up. And the broom looked like it was really enjoying himself. Perhaps too much.
There's a shot of Bo sitting on the floor painting something like he's 4 years old that I loved. It's just like, I kept expecting him to stand up and go, look, I drew a house.
You're 40. It's
Christmas, you prick.
Here's mommy and daddy and a son with sunglasses.
I did just learn what Christmas was like 30 seconds ago.
And then there was one of the... the butterfly person was putting the decorations up.
Oh yeah.
Didn't they have a name like but it's like oh god like
Flutterina.
Yeah, there you go. Oh god. So bad.
Yes, can you just put the decorations that perfect, stay there for 2 weeks?
You know what? You've got wings. You could be the angel. Just stay on top of the tree and be very still for a long time.
Can I come
Do
down
not
again?
Move.
Yep. No, you can't come down. The angel doesn't come down until after Christmas.
Shut up and love Christmas.
That's really the moral. The end should have just been shut up and love Christmas.
We had a lot of fun today, but shut up and love Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's every conversation I ever have with you in every December.
That's right. Shut up and love Christmas.
No. No, I hate it. There's a point...
I don't like to feel nice. I like to feel evil.
There's a point where the kids and Orko have been separated, and one of the kids is wandering around going, Orko! And he says it very much in a way that I just waited for Orko to say, Polo! Also, one of the kids is named Miguel, which is a good attempt at multiculturalism, but completely undercut by him being the whitest kid I've ever seen.
I was going to say, it doesn't really count if he's white as a sheet.
Yeah.
And then you see the parents and, like, I'm even more confused now.
One of them looked like Mario.
Yeah, I was going to say. And that little girl grew up to be,
in years of therapy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they can afford it because they've got those cool hover belts.
Oh, you know they're being taken. They'll be taken to Arkham Asylum and made to stay there and be under surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to study the powers of the belt,
or the welt, as I call it.
I can use it in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely feel like every 80s story where a kid finds something cool like that is then pursued by evil government men or whatever. Like that's the next thing that happens, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Little did we know how accurate that was.
Yep. What else?
I've just got notes. So much cultural appropriation.
Well, like what?
Well, because the attorney has just appropriated Christmas.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I can never watch Nightmare Before Christmas again in the same way, to be honest. That's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. It's Jack Skellington sort of. Although, anyway, we could go into that, but I'm never sure of the moral of that story.
Yeah, is it like, try new things, or fuck you if you try new things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I don't get.
Yeah.
But what they needed was the characters to come out at the end and look right at the camera and tell you.
Shut up and love Christmas.
That said, though, again, I keep coming back to this, but that bit with Skeletor at the end made all of this worth it. That was so funny.
Yep.
I don't like being nice.
I don't feel very well.
Mm-hmm. Go for a lie down.
There's the little cute dog that, like, at first he's going to kill, and then he's like, fine, I'll carry the dog if it means I can keep my hostages. And then, like, he's holding it in his arms as he's walking, and the dog barks and he says, get away from me. Like, you picked up the dog. You can just put it down, you idiot.
I love the bit where the girl's like, I can take the dog if he's bothering you, Skeletor. And Skeletor's like, no, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, Amanda pointed out, like, the dog's just like, oh my God, I like bones. This guy is just bones. This is the greatest thing ever.
He stole my head. And he buried it.
I got my bones back, but all the marrow's gone. This feels real weird. Between that and she had, like, I always like to attribute her jokes because I don't want to take credit when she's funnier than me. But there's a bit where Shira's horse is hurt and she just goes, well, now we get to watch her put it down, I guess. Brutal.
Does that sword turn into a gun?
I guess so. Well, it turns into a rope because, you know, Wonder Woman, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps calling the horse Swifty. Mm-hmm. What his name Swift went, and you just know the horse hates that. The horse in the new She-Ra is better because he keeps talking about horse rights and things.
Does he get them though, or does he stay marginalized through the whole show? Because
I think he stays marginalized.
Oh, that's horrible. I mean, you got to beat someone.
Just like the Doctor from Voyager.
Well, that guy deserved it, really.
Yeah.
These guys,
that
at least
droid only... in Solo that kept bringing up stuff I'd rather not think about when I'm watching a Star Wars movie.
I'd rather not think about Solo, honestly.
I mean, fair.
What else?
One thing, when I was watching this the first time and we get to, what is it, Mandarina or Mermaid?
Oh,
Marina.
Mermarina.
Mermarina.
Anyway, going through the tale of the beast monster, and this sounds a bit fishy, this tale here. It's no pun intended, but...
That was every pun intended.
It wasn't.
Take ownership.
And anyway, having a woman in, like, giving laws from a lake isn't exactly a great form of government.
Well, it's Eternia. Yeah. The word hasn't gotten to them yet.
Anyway, we got there and the beast monster's actually real. And I thought, oh, cool. Right, we can get some epic battles. Now, oh, wait, it's just tripped and fallen.
And then it fell over.
You know how this hard it is to animate?
Episode, isn't it?
You know how hard that is to animate?
Never seen again.
You could just turn the cell sideways and call it a day. Come on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, it was... yeah. Also, beast monster, are you even... Like, that's not even a level of, like, Manny Faces trying. They just gave up.
We need to have She-Ra fight a beast or a monster. Yeah, that'll do.
Uh-huh.
Well, and later on, the Snow Beast shows up. So, like, they were big Beast fans on this show.
And yet no Beast Man.
No.
Dude is fine. Yeah, there was a Man Beast, but no Beast Man.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Beast Man. Ah!
He also had the pig thing. Maybe that's why. Maybe he sounded too much like Hordak.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone sounds like everyone else, but, you know.
If we put Beastman and Hordak in the same room, it'll end the universe. And then there'll be no one for anyone to be master of.
Oh, no. Also, like I said, I don't think they went to space a lot. So, like, the universe, I think the title might be overselling it a little bit.
I love the idea of, like, everyone else in the universe showing up and saying, Master, huh?
Mm. At best, no, you're Masters of Eternia. all right. Anything else? I like, Matt, you have something in your notes. Shut up, you fucking shirt.
Oh, that's just me yelling at Orko.
Yeah. I like that. You call him
a thing. The Orko figure was actually the same size as the other figures, which was just a whole level of scary.
Right, and he had that thing where you—it was like a—you
have to justify charging 20 quid for it, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, it had the thing where it was like a jagged piece, a strip of plastic that you put in and pulled it, so he would like move around.
Oh, and you do that like zip thing?
Yeah, woo!
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I had a Slimer that did that too.
But it kind of almost makes sense for Orko, but Slimer, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, whatever. I do remember there was an episode where he took off his hat, but like it was in silhouette and you couldn't see it. It was like, come on, man.
You just saw the silhouette of a thousand snakes.
I remember there was a toy fair where he took his hat off and his head was Spawn underneath, which I always thought was funny.
Behold my hideous form!
Ah!
And it's just Victor Von Doom with just one tiny scratch on him.
Mm-hmm. Richards! Mm-hmm.
Richard Kind.
Just made Orko so much more interesting.
I can't believe him and Skeletor beat me out for Sin City.
Little Adora, she grew up, she filled out.
this is a whole different level.
Oh, wait, you said Spin City.
I meant Spin City. I said Sin City because there's like four of those. It was that or Sim City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, there's too much pollution in my residential zones.
What is this, Captain Planet?
Mm-hmm.
Beast Man, this is your fault.
My pollution factories. All right. Well, let's do some quotes.
Yes.
Since I had the first segment, I'll go first. I just took literally the first Skeletor line I heard because that's the first thing that like made me laugh. So here's some Skeletor bullshit.
Enough, too bad. Get that ship before it escapes or I'll put both your heads in orbit.
All right, Matt, what do you got?
I also have some Skeletor bullshit. This is the kids explaining what Christmas is to Skeletor and Skeletor making a very fine point of his own.
But tell me more about this Christmas.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. Everyone has lots of fun.
You mean they get in fights?
No! They have fun!
Fights are fun! I like fights!
Mm-hmm. Very good. His delivery on lines like that was so good.
I love that characterization of Skeletor, too. Like, he's not evil or anything. He's just living his best life.
That's his aesthetic. I decided to look like an evil guy, and that's what I am. I don't really do much bad stuff, but...
I like getting in fights. They're fun.
Mm-hmm. Although, like every 80s villain, mostly we just see him running away from fights.
Sure.
But, you know.
There's a bit where Hordak fucks off, and he's literally doing the feats. Don't fail me now, look.
Yeah, it's terrible. There's nothing... Hordak, I don't think, had one good moment in this. He was just terrible.
He's rubbish.
Yeah, he's just awful.
The bit where he's trying to kill Skeletor and like he's flying around in his like thing or whatever, he starts talking directly to the camera.
Well, I didn't notice that. That's great.
He just looks at us just like, hey, you guys want to watch me kill Skeletor?
I was just thinking like Skeletor's ship looks like a skull, which is a very cool shape for a ship. And then so Hordak made his ship the shape of his head, but that doesn't look very cool.
Yeah, that was the bit where I mentioned that Hordak was providing audio description for the entire thing.
Yeah.
Skeletor just shot him then. All that turned around, looked at camera. Skeletor just shot me. And now I'm going to just provide an audio for his next actions and all the rest of it is. What is this?
All right, kids, you better applaud or I'm going to die. Okay, English Gav, you did your quote during your summary. So, Irish Gav, what do you got?
Mine is what I imagine Skeletor says when he's cleaning up after Grizzlord.
Get it! Scoop it up!
Very good.
Can't believe I have to comb your fur again.
Yeah, I think I chose mine because it was the coolest thing He-Man has ever said. And I'm basing that on just this one episode because I can't remember anything else he ever said ever.
No, I think you're right.
Honestly, like, I have sort of scattered memories of this show. Mostly what I remember is that one run that he had where he would swing his hips in this weird way and his arms are like sort of out and he stops and does this swivel at the camera. Like they recycle this exact shot like 10 times. Like, as far as I know, this guy doesn't talk. He just stands there and poses for half an hour, right? Just like, that's it. That's the whole show. Yeah. I assume. All right. Anything else?
That's it from me.
Yeah, that's about it. Peekabaloo is a stupid name, but I don't know if I said that.
I mean, nobody has a cool name in this.
No.
All right, well, that's all for this year then. We managed to find one that we all didn't hate, which, is that a first for us?
First year that's happened.
Yeah. Well.
No, we like the Avengers.
That's not true.
Not that Avengers.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Did we just watch that? Because I feel like every year when we find something good, we usually pair it with something that ends up being bad. So
Would it Avengers and Sliders?
Oh,
Sliders. Well, we definitely didn't like Sliders.
Nope. Definitely not.
Sliders.
Uh-huh. We did Sliders with Voyagers, that 80s time.
Ah, yes, it was, yes.
Yeah, I think we just did Avengers by itself, and you're right. We did just straight up enjoy that. Of course, last year we had the Addams Family and that unspeakable horror that was the Royal Family.
Oh, my God. Wait, when did we watch Teabag? I love that.
That was
2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure there's more of that.
I mean, I don't want to repeat the same show, but if you find something that's like that, I'm sure.
No, I personally will just get into that show.
Yeah. But I'm not
saying.
I don't know
what one we watched, but there's Teabag's Christmas Ding Dong is one.
Oh, Lord. That's, Well, on that note.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, we may not be bringing the show back. We are committed to doing Batman for the next couple of years, so we'll see. But
yeah, no, the next episode you get on this feed will be next year's Christmas special.
Quite probably, yes. But as always, this was a pleasure. Gentlemen, thank you. And
yes.
Likewise.
We'll do this again.
Yeah, whose choice was this, by the way?
This was sort of mine, but it's something we've all been talking about for years, and I think I just said we keep bringing this one up. Why don't we just
finally do it? Yeah.
So I can't entirely take credit for it, but I think I was the one who finally pushed it forward. So,
because we want someone to blame.
Because when we were watching pairs of things, we didn't want to watch something an hour long. But if we're just doing one thing, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
So, I've become very lazy with this. I'm watching half hour shows now. I can't do the hour thing anymore. It's just too much. All right. So that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.